Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. The bees are always great guests, and we have one for you today. GettingBetterDoc.com is the website of the renowned physician's journey as he becomes a patient and offers the powerful insights into the power of the human spirit and what it really means to heal from a traumatic medical event. And we're going to ask him why he didn't take it seriously beforehand and why he didn't do what he should have done for preventive care. What was it that limited that? That's an important lesson for all of us to take in this era. We just had some horrible stories, actually, horrible in my mind, that looked again at what percentage of patients who are prescribed blood pressure medicines because they have high blood pressure, hypertension, take their medicines 6 months later, it's 33%. So more than half of us don't do something even as simple as taking a blood pressure medicine. And by the way, you ought to talk to your doc about what side effects you want if you're one of those with hypertension. More than 50% of all Americans have high blood pressure. So talk to your doc, because if you want decreased libido, we got a drug for that. You want increased libido, we got a drug for that. But in the meantime, let's talk about GetBetterDoc.com with Andrew Kadar. Before we do, I've got to remind you that we are brought to you by LifesFirstNaturals.com. LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of Truebiotics, Dye Rescue, and Bovine Colostrum. The Dye Rescue has some amazing data now on blocking the side effects of both colchicine and of the GLP-1, such as Ozempic and Wegovy, Mounjaro, and Zepbound. When you start them, no diarrhea, no nausea with that in the blogosphere. We don't have randomized controlled trials like we do for bovine colostrum's benefit in preventing upper respiratory infections, as well as preventing the bloating that many people feel and the increase in GI effects, the decrease in the wall thickness of the gastrointestinal tract after taking a non-steroidal, as well as the other drug, the other medication, and it's really an over-the-counter probiotic, the Truebiotics, and you'll see the double-blind randomized controlled trials on that website, LifesFirstNaturals.com. The other sponsor, Longevity Playbook. Soon there's a coaching program that will help you to stay healthy longer. It's a longevity and wellness coaching program. But in the meantime, sign up for the free newsletter at LongevityPlaybook.com. Let's go back to our book of the day, if you will. That's Andrew Kadar's book that is called Getting Better. And again, the website, gettingbetterdoc.com. So Andrew, you denied illness, if you will, when you had it, and denied the symptoms when you had it at the beginning. As we always say, denial isn't just a river in Egypt. So tell us your story.
So I don't have a very good excuse because I knew all about illness denial, the tendency to write off serious symptoms as nothing. And I also knew the most common presentation of coronary artery disease being pain in the middle of the chest that comes on with exercise and goes away with rest. And I had that identical presentation. Now, on the other side, I did not have most of the usual risk factors. Never had high blood pressure, wasn't a smoker, exercised regularly, had a great family history. My father lived to be 94. We went hiking together in the Canadian Rockies when he was 86. So I was 62, working out in the gym, and I'd been an athlete all my life. I competed as a gymnast for my university. I was in the UCLA gymnastics team in college. I continued to be active, ran lots of 10Ks. So when I first had this episode, I thought, I know I don't have heart disease, so I'll just knock it off today. And then for the next couple of days, I had no symptoms, went back to the gym, and it happened again. Now, this time, I was a little bit smarter. I decided to ask myself, although I know I don't have heart disease, what would I tell anybody else with the same symptom history? And then the answer became obvious. I think that one of the lessons that I learned, and one of the lessons in my book, is that whenever you have an illness or some symptoms, try to take it away from yourself, because it's difficult to be objective about yourself. My self-image was that I was a superbly healthy individual, and I had been all my life. So this was very unusual for me, and it was hard for me to admit it. So my natural tendency was to say, I don't have heart disease. But when I took it away from myself, then it becomes obvious. Somebody who has chest pain that comes on with exercise, goes away with rest, obviously you check them out for coronary artery disease. So that's how I ended up calling my doctor, getting a workup.
And when you got the workup, what was your initial acceptance or denial? In other words, once he said, you've got heart disease, what'd you say?
Actually, I was doing a stress test, and about 2.5 minutes into it, I started feeling the pain again.
We gotta describe to people what a stress test is. That is, you get on a treadmill, and they both increase the speed that you're walking at to the point where you're running, and they increase the elevation, that is, the slope that you're running at. They do it until you get a heart rate that is close to your age-adjusted max or above that, meaning 220 minus your calendar age, and they take 80 to 100% of that is where they go, and then they see if you have EKG changes, so they put an EKG on you while you're running. They see what happens to your blood pressure as you're doing it, and they see what your symptoms are. And so what he had symptoms that were significant for chest pain as early as 2 minutes into his treadmill. Normally people will go 8 to 15 minutes, depending on how vigorous they do it and how fit they are to begin with. And so a 2-minute stoppage with symptoms that are significant for coronary artery disease means you probably need something to help you redo the arteries in your heart. What happened next?
At that point, I looked over at my EKG, and I saw ST depressions in every lead. So at that point, I knew that it had to be coronary artery disease.
So what ST depressions are, is there a sign on that EKG that they're monitoring that your heart isn't getting enough blood? The S segment, the ST segment, that is the segment between what we call the S wave and the T wave, is down below the baseline level it was at, and that indicates a lack of blood flow. So this is a doctor who is diagnosing himself while he's doing it. So you were just embarking on a new marriage at this time. What happened next?
I was set up for an angiogram, which is an X-ray study to see the circulation to the heart. And I was hoping and expecting that I would have an angioplasty, which is dilation of an area that's been blocked or partially blocked. One of my colleagues was doing the angiogram, and at the end of the procedure, as I was waking up in the recovery room, he came over and I asked him, did you do an angioplasty? How many vessels? And he said, I'm going to get the heart surgeon to talk to you. So then I knew that I was cooked, that something was more severe than a process that could be treated with just with an angioplasty. With an angioplasty, I could have been back to work in a day. If a heart surgeon was going to get involved, it was going to be something much more severe.
So why they do angioplasties is you've got one or two vessels and that it's a what we call regional constriction to flow, and you can dilate it. And the way it works is with a spring or a balloon, it expands it. And then you leave a stent like an erector set on the inside that's an expansive erector set that pushes against the wall to allow blood flow through. And if you got one or two vessels, they often will do stents. If you got three or more, or it's an extensive disease, then, or they can't reach it with a, what we would call an angioplasty device, then you get heart surgery. Heart surgery is now, in the olden days, was cracking the chest. Now a lot of it is done through ports where you, little holes that you go through. What happened in your case?
Well, this was 14 years ago. So they did crack the chest and sternotomy, so cut went through the breastbone. I had a three-vessel disease, including a 70% blockage in the left anterior descending, which is the artery that supplies the largest portion of the heart. And it's known as the widowmaker because it so often leads to sudden death. So I had fairly advanced disease that needed to be treated with three-vessel bypass surgery. There's one other kind of interesting twist to this. My wife is of is Chinese American, and there's a thing in the Chinese culture, if a woman's husband dies shortly after their marriage, she's labeled as a super scissor, which is somebody who cuts her husband's life short, and such women could never marry again and would often be even punished and sometimes even put to death. And although my wife obviously rejects that kind of archaic misogynistic mythology, she nevertheless knew that all her Chinese friends would think about that, and she was not going to be a super scissor. So she made sure that I got excellent care throughout.
So we should say that one of the keys through recovery and, in fact, prevention is, in fact, developing a posse and managing stress, as well as having a purpose in life and play. So the fact you had a supportive wife was absolutely key. And so people would be asking, what kind of job did you have that you were stressed? Why were you having this? What did you do differently afterwards? Did you, even though you had normal cholesterol and normal blood pressure, did you go on a statin? Did you start to take colchicine? What did they do for you in addition? And what exercise did they advocate? Because part of this book, a large part, is the recovery phase and getting better. And the book is gettingbetterdoc.com. is the way you get it, gettingbetterdoc.com. But anyway, what did you do from a medical standpoint and from a lifestyle standpoint in your recovery?
Actually, I was already on a statin because that was the one risk factor that I did have, that I had a somewhat elevated cholesterol, but I was taking statins and my cholesterol had been in a good level for at least 7 years prior to this event. Now, after the surgery, I was put on stronger statins and eventually some other medication that lowered my cholesterol to a far lower level. Now, as far as exercise, I was doing exercise before, but afterwards I went to a cardiac rehab center, and that was one of the things that didn't work out all that well for me, because I was doing stuff on my own that was more intensive than what was happening in the rehab lab. And they kept trying to get me to do less and less I would tell him, well, I'm doing more in my home gym than you're allowing me to do. So eventually, after about 2 weeks, I switched my exercise regimen to a physician-controlled exercise regimen, with the controlling physician being me. But I did it in a very cautious manner and advanced my exercise on a day-by-day basis to get back to my normal life, which was my goal.
One of the other keys is we now use anti-inflammatories, colchicine, very actively for patients with this, because we think that one of the unknowns has been inflammation that makes these worse. So are you now taking colchicine, or were you at that time?
I'm not taking colchicine, but I am taking Praluent.
Tell us about that.
Well, that's another class of medication that can very effectively reduce cholesterol. And my low-density cholesterol is at like 20. So it's at a very low level.
Yeah, that reduces it, but you get an extra 30% reduction by going on colchicine in the most recent studies. So we want to educate our audience to talk to their physician about colchicine as well if they have this problem or stroke. Many strokes are caused by this, as is much of dementia. So did they investigate the rest of your blood vessels, or was this just isolated to your heart? And why is that?
It's not isolated to my heart. I do have some calcification and narrowing in some other blood vessels, but none of it is symptomatic and none of it needs treatment. So this was by far the most severe, was in the coronary arteries.
So gettingbetterdoc.com, or Getting Better, a doctor's harrowing story of becoming a patient and discovering the emotional, spiritual, and psychological foundations of getting better. Let me just reiterate, if you will, Andrew, one of the problems for men is denial. That is, denying illness and denying the presence of this. For women, it is denial of another sort. They have fatigue, they have something in the neck or in the elbow, and they want not to think of this, or they don't think of it as coronary artery disease. So there is an important thing that the reason we still have one of the, if not the largest killer in America, is not only do we have the presence because of our lifestyle choices, but we deny the initial symptoms, which can lead to death. So Andrew, as he said, got lucky, got tested right away, got appropriate medical interventions immediately.
Yeah, I just want to make a little bit of an excuse for myself about taking over the control of my exercise. It was 2 months after my surgery that I started to do that, and I wanted to advance it a little bit faster than they were doing it at the rehab lab. But I did take my blood pressure after exercise. I did check my pulse. And if I'd had any symptoms, I would certainly have talked to a cardiologist right away.
Thanks very much for coming on the show. The book author, Getting Better, a inspiring book in that it tells you you don't want to be a denier. You do want to seek help as soon as possible. Thanks very much again. The website is gettingbetterdoc.com, gettingbetterdoc.com. The author, Andrew G. Kadar, K-A-D-A-R, and he never admitted to being an anesthesiologist, which is, as I know, one of the most stressful parts of medicine you can be in. Thanks again. Remember our sponsors, LifeFirstNaturals.com, the makers of both Truebiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and Dye Rescue. Go to their website, LifeFirstNaturals.com, and look at the double-blind randomized controlled trials for both Truebiotics and Bovine Colostrum, and the blog sphere on Dye Rescue and its benefits for preventing some of the side effects of the GLP-1s. And those are Wegovy, Ozempic, Mounjaro, and Zepbound. They're going to be used commonly for this problem as well. Thanks again. We'll be back next week. But especially thank you, our listeners, because you're the reason we do this. Tell your friends about us. Keep downloading us. 50,000 of you a week. Can't all be wrong. Thanks again. And remember the book, GettingBetterDoc.com.